And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. But we are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a beard here on Declare Your Independence. And me, Ernest Hancock, still in Lancaster, New Hampshire, where it's very nice. Yeah, we'll talk in the next couple hours about the news and stuff and everything. But in the first hour, we got Goshi King. Now, Goshi King is the New Hampshire State Director and Coordinator for Muslims for Liberty. Goshi is also the founder of the Libertarian Party of Pakistan, founded in 2010. Goshi occasionally writes for Muslims for Liberty and other outlets. His most recent article about private police was published by the Libertarian Institute at libertarianinstitute.org. Yeah, that's Scott Horton's thing, right? Yeah, I'm hip to that. Goshi is also a co-host of a libertarian engineering and technology-related podcast called All right, God, you got to help me with this, man. Engineering Tech Show? All right, Goshi, give me what it says. Oh, turn on your mic. Goshi, I got your mic. Can you hear me, Goshi? Is he, check his thing. No, it's all there. Unmute.
Hey.
There you go. Yeah, push a button. You all good?
I cannot hear you, Ernie. I know you're probably talking to me, and I can hear myself. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just having trouble hearing you on your side.
Okay, well, maybe it's a, shoot. Let me go in here.
Should I disconnect and connect again? Will that work? Possibly?
Yeah, go ahead and try.
Okay, let me try that.
Yeah, we'll do that. Goshi has been living in New Hampshire since 2011 as part of the Free State Project movement and is very honored to be part of the Free State Project. Muslims, the number 4, liberty.org. Keep track of this, Donna. And libertarianparty.pk, I guess that's Pakistan. And ANGINEERING.tech. Engineering. Okay, that's my first question. You know, I'll see what's up with that. We had a
good morning.
Good morning. I can hear you. Can you hear me? Let me try this. Can you hear me now? No. Now can you hear me? No. Okay. Let me see if there's some setting. It's always some freaking setting. Let's see. Mute here. Microphone.
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah, go.
Okay. What I'm trying to do is to switch my speakers to a computer speaker instead of my headset, but that didn't really work either. I wasn't able to hear you. But you can hear me, right? Okay, so that's good news. So I'll just keep talking, and we'll get there somehow, some way.
Well, let me do.
Good to see you, by the way. It's Well, nice, beautiful morning in New Hampshire.
Write in the chat and ask him to tell us about the Pakistan party.
What a bus. The love bus. I love the love bus.
Yep. She's going to type into him, ask him the question. We'll get it in the break. But the Goshi has been, I've met him before up here at Porcupine Freedom Festival. And he's been.
So Libertarian Pakistan, Party Pakistan, I founded it in 2011, right after my second Pork Fest. And I was visiting home at the time and met some friends from different institutions, including Prime Institute and some other. Liberty-minded, or you know, more capitalistic type of folks there, and a couple of them were from Tribune newspaper. One of them is an economist who's a big proponent of free markets. So at that time, they thought that there was a need for the party like that, and so I founded it sort of unofficially. So far the motto of the party has been just that, anyone who is interested in running on such platforms, such as, the ideas of liberty and free markets, they will be endorsed by the party. However, they would still be running as an independent. Pakistan's political spectrum is very convoluted, if you will. Because the number of parties that are registered are, in dozens. Yeah, so it's not like a two-party system here. There's, it's few dozen parties, and every party is, and their messages are just overlapping, and there's nearly zero parties who actually represents free markets and capitalistic ideas. So we kind of, jumped in, but unofficially, because there's just. In my personal opinion and some of my friends' opinion, they're just not ready for a free market-oriented, capitalist, libertarian party there yet. So our primary goal has been, just to try to educate and spread the word and try to teach them, what the free markets are all about, the freedom is all about, the liberty is all about, and so that's been the journey so far with the party.
Yeah, so, I just sent him a message. I wanted to know about,
Engineering. Tech. That's my the podcast, Ernie. It's like a engineering, but with an A. So A stands for the ANCAP, if you will. And so my co-host and I, we started that podcast not too long ago, and it's just toying around with that idea just to get some content out there. We haven't been completely serious and committed with it because we're not consistent with the podcast, but when we do get some time and some cool topics, we get to put the ideas out there, and in fact we're hoping to get a couple of new podcasts in this next month or so that are about like ballistics and guns and so forth. So that'll be fun. The Muslim community in New Hampshire. Thanks for asking, Ernie. That the Muslims here are just as if if you could compare salt in the bread dough. There are very few Muslims in the state of New Hampshire, and because of the nature of the state as well, they're sort of spread out. So you would find the concentration of most Muslims in the southern part of the state, similar to, like the towns like Nashua and maybe Manchester, a few families here and there, but they're very limited. I personally have only... known through some religious, gatherings, maybe 20-some families. That's not to say that there are not more out there. They're just, spread out. So there are some of the Muslims, as you know, there are several denominations within Muslims, so they all, stick to their own faith and guidelines. And
we'll be right back. With Goshi King, we're working on it. We're going to see if we can get to where he can hear me. But who wants to talk to me anyway? They get to talk and do what they want finally. Oh my God, this is how to do it. We're going to be back in just a little bit. We'll work it out.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Goshi King, MuslimsForLiberty.org. We're still trying to work it out, but we can do the chat and we can hear him, so we're getting some information, and it's probably better Bernie not talking. All right, so I put up there, when did you move to New Hampshire and why? Where is your family? He's from Pakistan. What's your plan for the future with all the lockdowns, and how does lockdowns impact the family in Pakistan? And go.
A lot of questions. So thank you. So I moved to New Hampshire, Ernie, in 2011, towards the end of the year. And I had listened to I actually attended Porkfest in 2010 and then 2011, and then when I came to 2011, I had this epiphany as what the hell am I doing anywhere else? And so I decided to move to New Hampshire. But primarily the reason why I moved was my pledge to Free State Project and what the movement was all about, to move to a one place where all the libertarians can get together and create this wonderful community. I've got great stories about that, actually, like some of the things that had happened to me the minute I moved here. If you don't mind me sharing, I'd like to share a couple with you. It's kind of like a plug-in for Free State Project anyway. So I moved here. I didn't know a whole lot of people. Some of my friends who were supposed to move with me did not, were unable to at the time. So I sort of came here alone. I packed up and I got here. And then when I got here, I opened my doors and there were 7 people waiting for me, complete strangers. Every single one of them, never met them before, did not know their names, and they introduced themselves to me, and I introduced myself to them, and then within less than 30 minutes, they offloaded my truck into my new apartment in Laconia, and I was blown away by the hospitality and the structure of community that the Free Staters have built here. Long story short, couple of months go by and then I get sick. I've got cold or something, right? And I can't leave work because I just feel guilty for leaving work during the work hours, because I was brand new at work. You know how it is. So I go on Facebook, on there, some of the networking pages we have for Free Staters, and I say, hey, is there like an evening clinic that I can go to? And believe me or not, Ernie, the first few responses I got, at least 3 of them said if I needed a ride, and from complete strangers. I did not know them. I didn't know who they were. And I was just, I was just touched by that, because, they didn't know when I moved. They didn't know anything about me, but yet, they were willing to take their time and effort and energies and resources to take me to this clinic that, where I could see a doctor. And I said to them, look, no, I don't necessarily need a ride. I have a car. I just need to know where to go. But yeah, that's my story about the New Hampshire. And moving on to your next question, Ernie, my family. So most of my family is still in Pakistan. My siblings, my parents, everybody's there, and I like to go visit them once a year. In fact, I had just come back late February from before this whole lockdown started, so I just missed that window. Otherwise, I would have been stuck there 2 more weeks, and there would have been no more flights. So I got somewhat lucky. I am married, and my wife is from the United States. She's actually from Maine. She's also a Free Stater, and she's moved a year after I had moved here. So that's a little bit about my family background, as far as the lockdown goes, I don't know. It's just all up in the air. Fortunately for me, the line of work I have, we still have a lot of work. Construction related, or consulting engineering businesses are not all that affected, unless you're a small business. I happen to work for a very decent sized company here in New Hampshire that is very diversified in terms of what they do. So we do a lot of school work, a lot of hospitals, hospitality businesses, and so on and so forth. So far we do not have any impact per se. I'm sure there is, that bosses can explain better, but our staff, all entire staff, nobody has been laid off so far, knock on wood, and everybody's been busy. Nobody's been sitting around doing nothing. So and then as far as the lockdowns in Pakistan, they have lockdowns, but the implementations are not all that effective. And so people can still get out and go do their groceries and stuff like that. And then some areas, you do get caught every now and then when they have a so-called lockdown that turns into a curfew, and then they beat you with sticks. It's pretty bad. Yeah, the corporal punishment in third world countries is awful. So how did I become a libertarian? That is a very funny long story. I have a friend, you and I actually have a common friend, who took me to become a Republican. And that's where I met a whole bunch of Ron Paul folks. And then one of them decided that there's this thing that people go for camping, and that's in New Hampshire, and it's great times, and we're going to, get shit-faced and have a lot of party, bonfires, all that. So I was like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, count me in. So I actually came with them. I did not become libertarian in Pakistan. In fact, I was a very liberal type of person. So religiously, I was very conservative. Domestically, or whatever the word is, socially, I was very liberal. Liberal as in like democratic liberal. So I come from that end. And when I came to Porkfest, I met a whole bunch of libertarians and anarchists who started to talk to me. They actually turned me into a reader. So the first book I picked was 1984, followed by Larkin Rose, followed by Dr. Ron Paul, and so on and so forth. And here I am. So my whole journey was Free Staters of New Hampshire turned me into a libertarian. Credit where it's due, So your question is, did I come to New Hampshire before libertarianism? That's actually correct. I came to party. I did not come to become a libertarian. I didn't even know the term libertarian or what it meant. In fact, I was sitting in the Alt Expo tent at Porkfest, and someone was telling about anarchy, and I had to look up on my phone and try to understand what anarchy really meant. And it turned my head, because in that Wikipedia article that I was reading at the time, it said something about Islam and anarchy, and that obviously perked my ears. And I clicked on that, and lo and behold, I read something about one of the religious infallibles that we follow from my faith, who was allegedly the founder of this anarchy movement in Muslims. And so that really sparked something in me to that quest, so that I could continue to learn more about libertarianism. But it didn't really take me long. You know how Ernie, they say, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? A couple of months of reading, well, that's all it took for me as well. So I mean, I'm kind of like in the Dr. Walter Block's corner, where he does still vote. And I believe in that, and just in self-defense sort of thing.
We're going to the break. We'll be right back with Goshi.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Goshi King. Relating it to us. It's good to have someone that's in the Muslim faith from Pakistan living in New Hampshire. And I'm going, yeah, that's interesting. I want to find out all about that. He came for the party. He's like, man, this is awesome. These people are awesome. I go, oh, they have a philosophy that makes them awesome. Okay, what's that? Anarchy? Okay, what's that? And then there's you know, Muslims, he finds out that kind of found a Muslim philosophy, and it's just, you know, not having somebody rule you, and you can do what you want. Man, that has to be enticing to a lot of people. But my question now is, I'm interested in what his family thinks about your anarchy, you know? Go ahead, explain it to us, Goshi.
Yeah, about my family, really, their views on anarchy, I don't necessarily use the word anarchy. I'm primarily just, you know, talk about the ideas and try to articulate as best as I can to help them understand, you know, what does it mean to take someone's money without their consent and things like that. And it resonates with them because our faith, not necessarily our culture, but our faith is ingrained in that. You know, Islamic values teach you, just like the, you know, Christian values teach you, like, you know, thou shalt not steal, stuff like that. And so when you kind of break it down to them in terms of, you know, why taxation is bad in terms of, you know, and try to explain them, you know, the ideas of, like, you know, forced philanthropy and so forth, they agree, they resonate. But you know the minute you say, you know, there should be no government and things like that, then all bets are off, and that's a very hard method. However, I've had success with at least the younger siblings that I have and you know, my cousins and so forth, who do see merits in in libertarian ideas. It's the older folks who have. I have a hard my folks, they're just set in their ways, and even though they would agree 90% of the time, they just don't budge. I'm not sure why and how, but you know, that's the nature of the affairs with them. That's a great question, Ernie.
The PK politics.
So the philosophy, the libertarian philosophy, again, the word liberal is sort of almost as a cuss word in Pakistan. I can't use that because, you know, in countries outside the United States, Canada, you know, people call libertarians liberals. And so we, as a Libertarian Party of Pakistan, and the group of, you know, influencers there, have stopped using that word, and we're just using libertarian now. So in a way, when we do talk to people, they tend to listen. There's a lot of, there's a lot of pushback as well. There's a lot of, like, you know, anti-capitalistic notion in Pakistan, so it's very hard to use that word as well. So you just kind of have to be a little bit political about, you know, when you talk to them and say, hey, we're here to give you free market but not capitalism and so forth. So it's a very uphill battle over there for libertarians. It's not an easy job because of probably the years of, you know, indoctrination and even the founding principles of the country is not consistent with libertarianism. So it's a very uphill battle for us. And again, it's anti-authoritarian, and then the political parties are, you know, authoritarian. And so what do? They, you know, they smear you for anything that you say, and, you know, twist the words and say, look, these guys are, you know, all for, you know, big corporate. So it's difficult. So the philosophical understanding of Pakistani government is just a bit shy of 1984 type of government. They're very authoritarian and very, very socialist. To be honest with you, you know, growing up, we didn't really, you know, and I don't know what happened after 9/11 and how they feel about that. There is a lot of resentment to American government, you know, American military, obviously, because of, you know, what American military does over there. But as far as the American people, Pakistanis in general, love America. They love American culture. They love American, you know, like movies. They would rather watch an American movie before they'd watch a Pakistani movie, you know? There's a lot of love and hate relationship between Pakistan and America. You know, if you were to offer visas to even the most haters, they'd happily come and, you know, make their lives here. But overall, America and Pakistani views is a mixed bag. Some love them, some hate them. You know, it's the views of intellectual property, obviously, yeah, that's like a very good question. Pakistanis obviously have laws and books, but they don't have the resources to enforce them because, you know, it requires a lot of policing and, you know, it's third world country, so they don't have the money. There's taxes, or not everybody pays taxes, so that helps keep the government in check. But they do, so it's but the people, they love to copy stuff, man, just like Chinaman, you know. They love to, like, just take, you know, softwares. I, in fact, can get you a copy of a $10,000 software that you'd pay here as a pirated copy, walk up to a shop in the middle of the city, you know, with no underground shops, to get a CD for as little as like a dollar, like maybe 50 cents, you know. Bartending is great, I believe. Trade as well. People do it, but they don't, you know, they don't have it. They don't have the word for it. They just, you know, it's like a normal thing. You could go to someone and, you know, like, especially in like farmers market, that happens a lot. Like, if you have a farmers market, then people can trade, you know, their apples with literally oranges and so forth. But trade's awful. Pakistan is one of the largest, for example, more than 50% of the soccer football, is produced in Pakistan. Hockey, for example, like ice hockey as well as the field hockey, were the largest exporters of that. You know, surgical instruments were the largest exporters of surgical instruments around the world. Leather goods were one of the top three exporters of leather goods. Cotton, one of the top five. So on and so forth. Unfortunately, there's so much tariffs and so many other, you know, like subsidies and, you know, trade restrictions. And then on top of that, I'm going to quickly wrap up that question, Ernie, that on top of that, we have embargoes by United States government, which really pisses Pakistanis off, because we're not even supposed to have CNC machines per American embargoes on Pakistan. So that really... Yeah, so I mean, and then it's good to have, you know, friends like China or, you know, underground. And there's a lot of, you know, look, Pakistan has the highest per capita, one of the highest per capita engineers and doctors in the world. So we can create our own shit. It's just that we don't have our shit together. And the governments continue to push towards socialism, whereas if it was free markets, you know, Pakistan would prosper. So now they have bans on 3D printers. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just because of the fear of this, you know, 3D gunning, you know. But the tax system is one of the very aggressive tax systems when it comes to income tax, but not so much on the property tax. The question.
I gave him the break signal. We got to go in the break. This is working out okay. I get to ask the question, and he answers it. And you ain't got to listen to me. This is awesome. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question? I want to break free. You're listening to Ernest Hancock. I want to break free.
I want to break free from your lies. Yeah, so uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, even if we got to do it by text. You know, we're working it out here. You know, Goshi's been a good sport on it, and he's experienced in doing some radio and podcasting and so on, so he knows what's up. So I got a bunch of questions in there. My big thing is that We're in the last segment here, we're going to talk about Islam and freedom, or he's going to tell us about it. And I go, yeah. Right after I understand why Pakistanis are so smart, educated, and our customer IT service all the time. You know, somebody explained this to me. They come back, you know, all these guys got degrees or they're smart, but they're considered a, you know, third world Islamic country of, well, you know, what up with that? So somebody explain it to me. Well, go, she explained it to me. Go.
Yeah, sorry there. So let me correct you there real quick. I don't know if all IT service, the customer service is in Pakistan. I think that's primarily in India. But as far as the smartness and all that goes, I think everybody's smart, all the entire world. I'm not of the opinion that Pakistanis are any special than, you know, across borders, you know, on the other imaginary lines. But it's just a cultural thing for Pakistanis that all parents would like their children to be successful. You know, Pakistan is sort of like a developing country. And, you know, they look at the world and they say, you know what, we need to get out there. And so they, if they have smart kids, they'd like them to become, you know, scientists and so forth. And one of the, you know, the nationalistic, you know, proudest moment for Pakistanis is to be the only nuclear nation in the Islamic world, which is, you know, a to them, from the national standpoint, you know, it's a big thing for them. Another way of putting it is that, you know, our system, education system, is such that only the top of the top get to be in schools which, you know, are driven towards, you know, IT and technology and engineering and medicine. You know, we follow like American education system when it comes to universities. We follow British all the way to high school, but then after that we go to American. So, you know, we like to stay on top of, you know, education in terms of, you know, like any new research and so forth. So we really push it when it comes to high-end technology. Only problem is that, you know, it's just we produce all these engineers and doctors, but we don't have resources to do that. Yeah, Pakistani nuke program was not necessarily homegrown. You can say that as well. The person in charge of this, Abdul Qadir Khan was his name. He was the guy who was working for Netherlands, and I'm not sure if he was working for a nuclear power plant or a nuclear like weapon system program, but he decided to move to Pakistan and sometimes in 70s or something like that, maybe even early 80s, and then they started the nuclear, I think it was 70s, but don't quote me on that. And he came and, you know, talked with the government, and government says yes please, because India had already developed theirs, and so as a self-defense, you know, purpose, they decided to work on it, and pretty soon, within a couple of years, they were able to create nukes. And one of the great thing about, not necessarily, there's nothing about great about nukes, but just in terms of scientific analysis, Pakistani nukes are smaller in size. So the damage that they can do, they can drop few of them in multiple places and minimize the damage instead of, you know, taking this whole, you know, area. So there is that. Pakistan's relationship with India is not great, especially in the current Modi's government, India's Modi's government. They're sort of like, you know, hardliners, religious fanatics, maybe, and very nationalistic type of government. And so they get any chance they can to, you know, light fire, throw gasoline into the fire. And Pakistani Prime Minister has been very rationally, in fact, has offered in several occasions to say, hey, look, let's talk about Kashmir. And then even the Kashmiris, you know, there. So there's the Kashmir issue is a very big issue for us. It's draining our economy. It's, you know, it's the only sore in the eye, if you will, because beyond that, there is no reason for Pakistan and India to hate each other. It really, you know, but despite the fact that, you know, if they can get over the few wars they had with each other, I think that they could come on the other side if the Kashmir issue is resolved. That's just my opinion. Kashmir is this small little territory. It's actually not small. It's a province that so Pakistan and India were split into two countries. Before that was one was called Hindustan, and Hindustan was conquered by
British 300 years prior to that, and in small bits and pieces. And then when after the Second World War, when British were leaving, they were Pakistanis and Indians had decided among themselves that they were going to see whichever states have majority Hindus will become India, and whichever states have majority Muslims will become Pakistan. And then when the referendum happened, Kashmir predominantly, more than 80%, was a Muslim region, did not go to Pakistan. In fact, the Raja of the time, who was just the Raja in the so-called name, sold it for a little bit of money to India. And he had, you know, no say in that because, you know, it was at the time owned by British. And so British said, yeah, you know, I mean, everybody agreed that whoever gets the more votes for one side or the other becomes that part of the country. So that started the dispute, and there has been few wars since then. And it's just been a lot of bloodshed, a lot of money spent, a lot of resources, you know, towards militarism. And United Nations, the best part is the United Nations admits that, you know, it's a problem, and that the only issue is a referendum again for the Kashmir to solve the problem. But then nobody goes towards that. They acknowledge, but they don't do anything to, do anything. So Kashmiris, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not sure why if I got follow. Isolated, I mean, and fought yeah. over. Why?
I think it's water because all water comes from that region, and it's strategically it's a very prominent, like a military point, because it's top of the mountains. You know, the second tallest mountain, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. They're all up in the Kashmir and Pakistan region, actually. And so there's a lot of that. And you know, Pakistan shares our border with China. That's through Kashmir, and or you know, like the Gilgit and Skirdur region. And that's considered, at least on the international map, is considered part of Kashmir, even though they speak different languages and it's a different type of terrain and all that. So I think those are the reasons why Kashmiris are fought over, or Kashmir is fought over. But that's my opinion. Other than that, I think if like I said, you know, if the two governments come to their senses and drop this political nonsense, you know, Kashmiris can themselves resolve the whole state. They can decide whether they want to go with India or independent state, and so forth. That's a good question. Muslim libertarians,
how would they
spread the ideas? I suppose, you know, talk to their friends and hashtagging. You know, like I political movements are a little funny because there are so many things that you can do. Today, you know, like a lot of libertarians are, you know, focusing toward free Ross, or, you know, taxation is theft. I think free Kashmir, free Palestine type of ideas are, are great. And then the Pakistani Muslims, you know, they do help. They do, you know, there's a lot of donation stuff like that. And politically, you know, I mean, Pakistan, there's only so much, because, you know, whatever we say is the only thing that comes out in international media is our bad side, right? When we have riots and we have some religious fanatics that are coming out in the street. But when there is the talk about, you know, some peaceful stuff, that never comes in the news. And so it is important for Pakistani libertarians or non-libertarians to continue to do that, to support, you know, a resolution toward Kashmir. But it has to be spread out so the international community can see it. And, you know, and we do our best to get out there. It's just that we get shut down everywhere. And, you know, again, India's media campaigns are so much greater than Pakistan. You know, everybody knows Bollywood is the largest video producer in the world, and so there's that.
Hey, I just told him there's 30 seconds left. Say it!
Thank you so much for having me on show, Ernie. It was a pleasure. I'd like to just oftentimes I'm asked about, you know, Muslim Islam and libertarianism in Pakistan. And they ask me if it's compatible, if Islam is compatible with libertarianism, and my answer is always yes, absolutely. But there are a couple of good reads that you can do. And meanwhile, one of them is by Rose Wilder Lane, Islam and the Discovery of Freedom and Involuntary Islam. But thank you so much again, and I'll love to come back to your show. That would be so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Interfered. Oh, wait a minute. What do I got here? Behalf of, and we got notified that your evidence report, a full case portal of your and copyright something. I think I'll decline. You know, this is, you get a lot of, everybody wants a piece of something. So I just, and next. For, God, how's it been? You know, 05, so 15 years. 15 years of, nope, you're not allowed, and you shouldn't, and you got it, and you ask permission, and I go talk to Google, you know? And this is, it's going to get worse. And if we don't get off of the man's grid, you know, we're going to be subject to. So I think I'll decline. So that's what we, you know, working on, and I'm distracted by that, and they distracted me about that much, and we're done. So I want to make sure that we go over the news. Because, man, there's so much stuff going on. You know, one thing, there's a story I got sent in the Telegram. Guns, drugs, and murder. Over 700 arrested in United Kingdom's biggest ever crackdown after secure network hack. Now, of course, who's going to be using secure networks? You know, guys, outlaws, outside of the law. They'd be outlaws. So what are they doing? I don't know, whatever it is that they're doing, but the point is that they're able to hack it now. UK police have arrested over 700 suspects, seized $67 million, and over 2 tons of drugs after an international team broke the encryption on a not-so-secure app used by gangsters to coordinate money laundering, black market trade, human trafficking, and murder for hire, according to The Independent. Known as EncroChat, it was used on bespoke mobile phones that were designed to be secure against police infiltration and examination. Pinky swear. But in April, an international team cracked its encryption, started spying on users and harvesting their data as it carried on unawares. All right. There were 60,000 users worldwide and around 10,000 users in the United Kingdom, said the United Kingdom's National Crime Agency of the ongoing raids. The sole use was for coordinating and planning the distribution of illicit commodities, money laundering, and plotting to kill rival criminals. The secretive communications network was cracked in April after agencies in France and the Netherlands cracked into the EncroChat app installed on mobile phones, which was supposed to provide security against government infiltration and examination. Once the app was cracked, agencies began monitoring the gangsters' every move. It is the biggest and most significant operation of its kind in the UK, said the spokesperson. Hundreds of staff workers to analyze the data and identify EncroChat users, working through millions of messages and hundreds of thousands of images. It results in 746 arrests across UK so far, damn, including high-value targets and iconic fugitives who had previously escaped justice. The operation has also revealed the identities of an unknown number of corrupt police officers and employees in different law enforcement agencies. Ah, we'll see what happens there. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. While EncroChat's website is no longer functional, an archived copy from March 2019 reveals features which attracted criminals, including self-destructing. Wait, I gotta turn this up. Including self-destructing messages, self-destructing messages, panic wipe, password swipe, tamper-proofing, and guaranteed anonymity. In quotes, because not so much. The company described their flagship product, EncroChat, as follows. It is a user-friendly, secure instant messaging client designed for mobile environments. Security is guaranteed using our EncroChat messaging protocol. This is an end, where you've heard this before. Okay, here you go. This is an end-to-end encryption messaging protocol which provides excellent forward and future secrecy properties for symmetric key updating, whatever the hell that means, along with improved deniability guarantees over the OTR protocol and its variants. We have also vastly simplified user verification to remove the complexities of encryption for end users. EncroChat. All right. Well, EncroChat, we've heard this before. You know, and it has a nice little ad here, and EncroChat on a phone, and guaranteed anonymity, you know, messages that self-destruct, customized Android platform, well, you're screwed right there, your first problem, panic wipe, dual operating system, over-the-air service, industry-leading hardware cryptographic engine that blah, 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 tamper-proofing, updates and live support. Well, then you got problems there, too. Password wipe, panic wipe. You know, this is, when have I heard this before? You know, according to the report, EncroChat phones were used by the middle tier upwards when it came to gangsters who get their hands dirty. According to Steve Jupp, the National Police Chiefs Council led for serious organized crime, the operation is an unparalleled victory against the kingpin criminals. And they must have got a bunch of stuff for them to tip their hand that they could do it, or they started to know that they were being surveilled or something. You know, there has to be some kind of, you use this kind of technology, and you got to have some kind of feedback to know if you've been hacked or not. You know, I'm just, maybe they released that they could do it because they were known they could do it, you know, but well, now everybody knows they can do it. By dismantling these groups, we have saved countless lives and protected communities across the United Kingdom against evil drugs that people wanted to do or whatever. He added, in addition to the cash and drugs, raids produced 77 firearms, oh my God, and grenades and 1,800 rounds of ammunition. Seriously? All you have to do is go in my closet. Yeah, these are numbers they're promoting. We imagine there's a very nervous software engineer or two out there. Yeah. You know, the point that I make of this, reason I wanted to make a big deal out of this, is because I don't give a crap how secure you think you are. Here are gazillionaire drug dealing, sex trafficking, children molesting, you know, whatever the hell. I don't know what they're thinking. They're criminals, okay? And a big enterprise. And this is not, you know, $67 million. You know, bankers, you know, do all this stuff worse, and, you know, that's a morning for them. That's before breakfast, you know. So them to make a big deal, when they start, arresting politicians and, you know, they got some corrupt cops, you know, that's probably better than not. Corrupt for what? You know, it's just, this is piddly crap. You know, they're just destroying generations, and I'm worried about whether somebody, you know, smokes marijuana or does heroin or not. You know, but what's learned here? Is that even those with the resources and the incentive not to go to jail, you know, they use software that got hacked. They got software that got hacked. I just want everybody to know that software got hacked. You know, can you hear me? Software got hacked. So all this, it's private. It's secure. It's vulnerable because it's like ones and zeros. So that's, you know, the big thing got out of that, because I was just like, yeah, please. Oh, we started logo in the bus. I got the bus on there. Do you have it in the archive? Oh, she's going to the bathroom or something. But the, big story news. Oh, big story news. Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, arrested by the FBI, right, I mean, just within a couple of drive shots away, I don't know, small town, close to where Jay lives. And Luke's going to be here. They're working on a RV for him and so on. Well, what might we do? You know, I don't know. Should I take the love buzz? Yeah, maybe not. But what's he going to do? Go where she was found.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. Okay. Now we're still wiring different stuff. You know, we have a lot of capability on this bus. You know, guys, you know, how much faster is it than when you're at home? You know, how much more can you do? You can't do what? Better. You know, we have faster computers, you know, for doing the processing. The internet is the only thing, but we have a lot of ways to do it. We got a Raspberry Pi, Derek, set up that manages our Wi-Fi, so I can Wi-Fi anything. I got a billion mile long, we created ourselves because he can do the ends on Ethernet cord. So that's, God, that has to be 150, 200 feet long. And then we have a Verizon and AT&T, and we can do hotspots for the Wi-Fi or our phones. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 mechanisms for connecting, and I trade it all in for 1 satellite dish. If it worked, all right, we'll see. We have backup. You know, one of the things that what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell. It's Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell, she was the, friends with benefits, partner babe of Epstein. Now, Epstein, his whole thing was, Jeffrey Epstein, if I had to just, skip to the end and put it, it was a shakedown, blackmail, sex, do what I want. We got politicians and royalty and whatever under our, get what we want done for the new world something. And you go, okay, well, that's not a big giant stretch, but for whom? Where were they getting their resources? How were they? I mean, it just kept building. Well, Ghislaine's father was a publisher in the UK, I think. But the big thing, that caught my attention is when he died under mysterious circumstances, he jumped off his boat and drowned of something. And this is all I keep track. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Died under mysterious circumstances. You go to his funeral, and it was like 3 or 4 prime ministers, present and former of Israel. And they get up, I think it was Netanyahu or one of the guys, or Shamir or somebody, they get up and they said, he's done more for Israel than you will ever know, which is why we're all here, okay? We want to read the will of, where's my password or something. I mean, I don't know what the hell they were going on about, but, it definitely, and then all of a sudden his daughter is running a, sex blackmail thing with politicians and prominent leader and businessmen and all this stuff. And it makes you go, So when Jeffrey Epstein was finally detained and arrested and put in, and he killed himself, I'm like, Jeffrey Epstein's dead? I mean, what makes you think he's even dead? I saw a picture on TV. Oh, okay. All right. And then they cremated him. Oh, okay. I'm Osama bin Forgotten. They dumped him at sea. Oh, okay. It makes you go, Now, Maxwell, she went on the lam. She's gone. And every now and then you'll see a picture of her reading a book at a cafe of some BS of, whatever. All of a sudden, just yesterday, she's arrested right by here. Now, here in New Hampshire,
Jay Noon lives down in Henniker, which is near Manchester, and I think it's called Bedford or Beddington or Bed something. You know, it's always, you know, of course, it had a bed in it. So what she did is she was hanging out, and what Jay called me and he says, "Hey man, I need all the numbers and contact stuff for Luke Radowski." Because Luke's here, and he's going to be down after this weekend. He'll be at Jay's. They're going to be working on prepping a RV that he wants to use. And we're going, okay, because he wants to do what we're doing. I want to go on the road. He's going to get some. And one of the guys up here has a nice Mercedes, what he wants to sell, and they're working out a deal. And, you know, he'll be on there. It's a nice one. You know, it's a short one, but it's a pop-out, and it's got all the goodies, and it's modern as diesel Mercedes. So I'm going, okay, how much is that? But the... this is a lot bigger and we got more pimped out, but you know, it's smaller and you don't need to pull a car. It is a car, you know, basically, but it's, I mean, it's big. It's like a big 350 chassis with, you know, whatever, but, with him here and it's right, you know, within a half hour or something drive, you go over and what do you have? Rothschilds, Rockefeller kind of man. There's a big giant. I just went to Bretton Woods yesterday, go golfing. I go, the valley up there, I go, oh, so this is Bretton Woods. Oh, okay. You know, we went to the big White Mountain, whatever the heck it is, golf course. Crosby took me there, and I got to play with a golf pro. Of course, he's 80-something years old, and he's from, you know, on the tour and roommated with Arnold Palmer for 10 years in the 60s and 70s and so on. But the boy is still par. He's up here competing in some senior tournament in Vermont. And nice guy, Jay. He's a nice guy. You know, and he helped me. You know, his stroke, I've been cured a couple things. I'm like, all right. Well, there went, you know, another 8 strokes off my game. You know, that's good. So I go, man, I need to pay. We need to go golfing, man. How much you want? So this is a very interesting place up here that they kind of get isolated. I'm not sure how much wintering they do up here, but in the summer you come up, you're not worried about, you know, it's freaking hot or what, you got something nice to do. You can go off in the woods, you can have private conversations, you hope, you know, you're on the river, you know, something. So Bretton Woods, this is where the Bretton Woods Agreement, after, God, what was it, man, I gotta do my history. After World War II, it was the agreement that they used the dollar as reserve currency. It was backed by gold, and then we broke that in the early 70s and Nixon went off the gold standard, blah, blah, blah. So that's Bretton Woods. You'll hear Ron Paul talking about Bretton Woods Agreement, Bretton Woods, Bretton Woods. Well, these agreements in central banking of we're going to be somebody was here. And a lot of these guys up, you know, we know some families and so on that have been part of, you know, the creation of the Federal Reserve, or they got retirement homes up here and even got, you know, summer homes of Supreme Court justices or whatever. They like New Hampshire. Live free or die. When we're there on vacation, then the rest of the time we rule you. Okay? So, I, you know, it's kind of ironic. But these families have places up here. And she was staying with them. So it's kind of Rothschild, the Rockefeller kind of they, them, those banking intelligence of whatever the heck. That's all I know. And, you know, Jay goes, man, I know these family. Man, of course she was there. You know, we got to go out there and do get, does anybody know, get some pictures and take a whatever. If I was so inclined and gave a crap, that would be a great thing for the bus. But I'm the love bus. I'm about to go catch the, you know, scumbag bus, you know, fixing us, not, you know, highlighting them. But that definitely is Luke, okay? Luke, so gave him all the contact information for him and so on. I don't know what happened. Hell, I mean, he could be on their front door right now making a video. Probably is. So this is, you get it straight from the Liberty community on one of the biggest stories ever. You know, they'll work it out. Now on freedomsphoenix.com, if you go there, you'll see a bunch of stories for this. We have Ben Swan has a video on it, so that might get you caught up. He does a pretty quick, down, dirty, get done. And then from Zero Hedge has it, she was arrested, maybe sent to same jail where Epstein killed himself, kind of, maybe, sort of. You know, so this whole thing has not played out yet. And it makes you wonder, you know, how long have they known where she was? How have they been tracking her? You know what? You know, are they waiting for a slow news day? You know, letting something die down, something else starts to come up, and they pull the trigger. I don't know. You know, you can't. You know, you just whatever. They always do stuff they do for their reasons. All right, well, that's kind of gets you caught up on that. Oh my God, of that. And when we come back, we'll go through some of the news. And there's just so much stuff going on. When all this crap they distract you and pulling down statues. That's kind of distraction. You got to go, I'm going to check my six. Take a look behind me. What's up? We'll do that when we come back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, there's a couple of roads here in New Hampshire, but they do a pretty good job here compared to a lot of the other northern states. You go to the different northern states, man, it's just ridiculous. I'm going, you guys pay taxes, right? Oh, it's frost heave. Okay, well, what do you got to do? So you talk to the guy, well, you got to put big rocks here, and you got to drain that, and you got to make sure there's no, you know, retention of water underneath to bring it up, and then you put the little this and a little that, and I go, so do that. Yeah, but it's expensive. More expensive than keep... I mean, whatever. You know, I just... There's solutions. It's just, you know, because somebody told me an excuse that we need your more money. So I'm tired of hearing, you know, you do it, you don't do it. But here in New Hampshire, it's not that bad. Some of the things that they go, oh, yeah, it's kind of... I'm going, this ain't nothing compared to Maine, man. Maine, man, is get on it, you know. But the Broadway closed, but Pork Fest stayed open. Now, we're going to go ahead and go over some of the news. Now, one of the things that was of interest was there was two articles that were written about Porcupine Freedom Festival up here. Now, there are two weeklies that are up in this area, in this county, and it's just, you know, it's a guy and another guy. You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, they go get it printed, they distributed it, they do some advertising, they write a story, they got maybe three or four main stories for the small community newspaper and whatever, and Pork Fest is definitely it, and they got their own bias, and they're going to say whatever they're going to say. But they don't come out. You know, they don't interview people. They get a phone call, and they this, that, and they got part of their agenda is the promotion of the lockdown. So what do they say? Oh, so-and-so at hospital, what you call it, says this. Oh, and the social distancing of they're not that. These people, they don't care. They're going to kill your grandma. Well, I didn't read. I kind of skimmed through it, and it was just really light of just getting a couple of quotes of just lazy reporting. So Crosby Peck, the owner of Rogers Campground Motel here, he goes, you know, in 23 years, Rogers Campground has had the distinction of making the front page of the Democrat twice. Now, that's named the Democrat and I don't know, whatever. There's two different ones. It's called the Democrat. Tells you everything right there. Both times, the two times we've made the front page in 23 years, both times with inaccuracies. This time, the article is from a picture. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I thought reporters went out to get stories and not rely on pictures, hearsay, and interviews via the phone. They just call people, hey, what do you think about that? I've seen this done. So don't you think that? And then they'll print some quote or something. We approached the town prior, but no conversation was held between selectmen and the park. Weeks Memorial Hospital did not present their concerns to the park in any manner. Campgrounds have been known to depend on the traveling public for business. You know, awareness in the area and its population is very important to us. My tax bill was paid on time without any relief, and having been on the staff of six hospitals, one being the third largest in the country and three the size of Weeks, which is the hospital that they quoted, I welcome their input. That was it. That's all he said. Now, Crosby is a retired oral surgeon, and he's been on, you know, of course, he does a lot of, you know, different hospitals and such, and nobody contacted him. Nobody expressed a concern. Nobody did their, you know, whatever. Now, of course, you got some shiny badge once to your social distancing rule or something. And he's like, yeah, whatever. But the community likes Pork Fest here. I mean, ooh, bring us some money. Right on. He said that the big grocery store goes up 8-10%. You know, that's 8-10%. That's like, if you had 9 customers, now you got 10. I mean, you know, it's a lot. So they recognize it's we're going to staff up a little bit. So this is supported a lot more, and everybody stays here. Nobody wants, hell, you don't want us to go into town, we won't go into town. Except for groceries. So it's not a problem. But if you're going to have people camping, freedom people camping, and not wearing masks, oh my goodness, heavens to Murgatroyd. You know, when we were golfing, there was one guy that had a mask on, and he had it pulled down around his chin, so it wasn't covering his face anyway, heading off to the driving range. And I'm like, you know, if you're worried and you're wearing a mask, around your chin, you know, going to a golf course in the White Mountains at Brenton Woods kind of thing in, you know, New Hampshire, I'm thinking, man, you must have a very vulnerable immune system, which is another thing. That's really what it is, you know, your immune system. Everything about the immune system, is it you know, healthy? Is it not? Do you got, I mean, you better just go get in a bubble, man, if you got to worry about this. So it'll all come out. And I tell you when they're going to find out, and it's all, oh, heavens, you know, Democrat wins the in November for the president, President Biden, seriously. That's just hilarious. Anyway, so they do that, and it's all good, man. We fixed it. And we got a vaccine. We're going to make a gazillion dollars on it. We're going to make you take it. You know, this is, and that part's what's not going to go away. All this force stuff. I'm just, yeah, let's see how that works out. Okay, we did an interview Wednesday with James Corbett, and they really wanted the video because we've been holding back on videos because they're a pain in the ass to load up here, and we, you know, give Donna a break instead of standard pounding on the internet. But the, and we're using Float a little bit more. You know, Sierra's getting it all. We got a Parler account yesterday. She's going to set me up on everything. And I'm going, yeah, whatever. It's another, you know, it's another one of, you know, they're going to rule you and say what you can and can't. No. Conservatives, libertarians, you guys come on over. It's all good. And then I go, I saw Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul says, eh, it's good to have a, you know, ooh, he says, how much they pay him? You know, I'm going, all right, I'll go take a look. Well, Ron said, so I go, all right, Sierra, hook it up. So we're doing that. So I go, all right. One more thing. We'll start, you know, playing in the social media again, but we choose wisely. Now, I don't mind that it goes in. I hadn't looked at it in years. Somehow we had some, I think I vaguely remember, and didn't know it would still be working, that I go, well, take the top two or four stories on each dispatch, and it goes on Twitter. You know, which ones it went back, and it's still working. We got a nice Twitter page, you know, and it looks cool. And I'm going, damn. And how many people? 4,000? And I don't engage with them? Okay. How many we got over Facebook? I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000, you know, and I'm going, okay, there's that. You know, we'll kind of, you know, start building on that. But I want to, you know, like I'm bringing them over to Float, bring them over to Freedom's Phoenix. We're going to start to make that effort. Sierra's taking care of business on there. And we'll include some of the others. So it's a, you know, I don't like being subject to the whims and the ups and downs and likes and all that BS of the internet. If you're not confident in your position, you shouldn't be telling people what it is and trying to entertain them and inform them. If you're not comfortable with what you want to say, you're letting the crowd or some algorithm or a robot in Russia or China or in DC bunker of, you know, freaking Rahm Emanuel or something telling you what to say. And that's what I don't like about this stuff. It's the programming. It's the carrots and sticks that they give you. You don't have your mask on, you know? So I, you know, whatever. But we'll let you know how it goes as we're setting this up. We're not done. We started putting the decals. We had to wait till it freaking stopped raining, you know, so I get to go golfing and put decals on the bus. So we got the Big Love bus on. Then we're starting to put the others on. We got a couple of other little ones on with the website and all that kind of stuff on the front. So it's not super hard, but I wanted to practice on a little one and then, you know, do the big ones. And it came out pretty good. So I'm going, all right. So, I didn't screw it up. And then we'll do some of the others today. Maybe we'll get them all done because I'd like to have them done for pictures that we're going to do with the 4th of July celebration because that'd be a really good launch. Oh, with fireworks. See, it all works out. It all works out. You know, what if I had them released and it didn't have big, giant, explode fireworks behind with a big crowd of signing the bus and stuff? Well, that'd be, like, anticlimactic. You know, we got to build it up to the 4th of July. Woohoo! And they do a really good show here. This is a big deal. Last year, it was all negotiation where they're going to do Fork Fest and around the 4th of July weekend where he fills up here. So a lot of the Freedom community is coming up here again for this. I'm like, well, cool. There's that. We'll go over some more of the news. There's a lot of stuff breaking when we come back, but we're ready for it. Yeah, we're getting even more ready. Ready. Yeah, what materials do we need on the bus to pass out? We need help with that, too. We're creating some, but, you know, there's some books and pamphlets and goodies, man. Let us know.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Thomas Freeman's sitting in here hanging out while we're just doing it. We had a lot of people we got to talk to, you know. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs of the article, Broadway Closed But Porkfest Stayed Open, that Jeffrey Tucker wrote. He was here, of course, wearing his, you know, double-breasted bow tie. And I'm just, yeah, whatever, you know. But one time he didn't. And he got so much crap for it. He just, like, nobody knew who he was, you know. So I had him on one time. He was at a thing, and I saw a picture of him on a beach without that. Hey, what the hell, man? You're breaking uniform here? Nah, I'm not doing that again. It doesn't work the same. So you always see him that. Tom Woods just hung out with his new girlfriend. I didn't get to ask everything about that. I don't care. She seemed nice, you know. So said, yo, what's up? And got to talk a little bit, you know, see what's up. But this is his first Pork Fest. Now, in the amongst all of the COVID crap and everything, we'll get into the news in a little bit. We got another hour after this. You're going to have to, you got a break. You didn't have me talking the first hour. No. We'll make up for it. All right. So what happened was you have all of this lockdown, shutdown threat and Facebook of I can't believe in you guys, you know, COVID fest and, you know, whatever crap, right? So a lot of people have been in lockdown in their states, in their minds, their children. There's something. You can't really change an individual without trauma. You can't change a society without trauma. You know, you're always in this loop. There has to be some kind of, you know, foxhole incident, death-defying experience of something, you know, to get your deviate from whatever rut you got your cortex wired in. I mean, you know, it's just, you got pathways, man. You got to destroy the path, make new pathways, something, do something, you know, or you're just going to keep doing the same thing. Well, so they've created this trauma. To what end? I have no idea. You know, this is just weird. But, he gets into some details. There was a presentation on the COVID. You know, one guy, Phil Magnus, did a masterful presentation of his research on the failed history of coronavirus modeling. His focus was on the main proponent of lockdown, the now famous but daily discredited Neil Ferguson. And, you know, isn't that the guy that was in the UK? You know, I think what happened was this UK, oh, we're going to have a gazillion people die, and this is my model of them, wondering we got to be locked down. And then he finds out that he continues his affair with some woman that was married in an open marriage and come visit him in violation of, oh, shut up, I don't give a crap. You know, I'm sorry, what?
He was the modeler, the guy that you were just talking about. It's the one that modeled all the things that they're basing their disbursement of the virus about.
Which was discredited and exactly. Goes, it's all crap and everything. And then he didn't take his own advice anyway of whatever, doesn't matter. But, you know, this is one thing that happens. You have the Chicago mayor, what's her name? You know, you can't, we're going to get sent. Seriously, she is on, we will be saved, we will arrest you, will this, will that, and everything. And then she goes to the hairdresser. And her hairdresser put out, you know, a thing. Yeah, well, she was here and I've gone there. Well, I'm me. You know, I care very much about how I look. And I'm a politician and I need to be pretty and you don't. And you ugly people don't get to go to the hairdresser and, you know, just eat cake, you know. So I'm like, right. Okay. So I'll go ahead and turn your mic up, but don't touch it. You know, it keeps, you know. So what happens is you see the hypocrisy in all this, but people are traumatized. They are affected. They came here. Now, for us, it's hard for me to have this perspective because I don't care. I didn't pay attention to anything. I just, you know, I was working. You know, we were doing the show. We were working on the bus. We're traveling around. Wow, I only got 6 passengers. Cool, more air for me. I mean, you know, I didn't care. One time, I stretched out, you know, I got curled up on the 3. I was tired, and there was nobody. I just laid down on the seats. You know, I don't care. Heck, I would have put my feet across the aisle if, the waitresses wouldn't have, you know, got mad. Because they don't serve meals anymore. They don't get anything. I'm not even sure you get peanuts or something. I mean, it's so freaking stupid. So anyway, I'm going to read this real quick, what he said. It was the 17th year of the Porcupine Freedom Festival in Lancaster, New Hampshire. Yeah, 17 years. Seriously, man, get over it. Held at the Rogers Campground. It was an unusually spirited, emotional, and powerful gathering this time, mostly because it took place in defiance of the fear-based culture that politicians and the media have been spreading for months. Hey, if Woodstock could take place during the Hong Kong flu, which killed 100,000 Americans over the season, surely Porkfest should go ahead in the midst of whatever COVID-19 is. Because of the lockdowns and mandatory closures, desolation and despair was swept through many areas of the country, with boarded up businesses, plexiglass separating people, and sadness all around. But here, for 3 days, all 400 or so of us got the experience to experience something like what we might call the old world, meaning February and before. Just happy people sharing ideas, eating, meeting, and enjoying themselves. 400. There was over 700 that signed up. So I think by the weekend, it might have been, 400. 400 is a lot. 400 is 400 people. I mean, and then there's a bunch that stayed and is starting to fill up again because this weekend is 4th of July. They have a big, really big show. So I think a lot of people is coming tomorrow, too. So this is 400. That wouldn't surprise me. It'd be probably more, but at least that many. I'm sure that the organizers faced some pressure to call it off, but Carla Garrick looked past the propaganda and went ahead anyway. This year, too, was a bit different from usual, lacking some of the glitz and organizational formalism of the past, but we were no worse for it. There were talks on every aspect of health, economics, history, philosophy, commerce, crypto, firearms, COVID, and you name it. The main pavilion had something going on day and night, and there were many gatherings all over the campground. Most people camp, but there are also cabins and hotels for people like me. Even then, there is no getting around the roughing it aspect of the conference. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. That entirely depends on what food trucks happen to be there. Everything is on a bring-your-own basis. The view of the mountains from the campsite are remarkable and strangely therapeutic. I'll attest to that. In fact, the whole event felt a bit like therapy for a traumatized people. Families drove from very long distances just to have a taste of social life again, to be around people, to find out answers concerning what the heck happened in this now windswept country of ours. You could see the tragedy and hope in people's eyes. I had people I've never met break down in tears in my presence just from the happiness of the brief end to the isolation they felt for months. The children were particularly thrilled to go without the muzzle for a few days and have friends with whom to run and play. And that's one thing that's big. I mean, that goes on, but, that's kind of it in a nutshell. I probably didn't appreciate it as much as many others did. And, James Babb from Philadelphia has kind of been kind of locked down. He's like, hey, Philadelphia's got, a thing. And his oldest daughter, 18, beautiful, Dorothy. Both his daughters, Violet and Dorothy, are just gorgeous kids. And to see them grow from little kids, over the decades. So eight times, Dorothy was eight. I mean, I've seen them prosper and grow, and every year, and they become more and more and more their own person, adult. And I'm an adult. I'm 18. Ah. And it turned out great. Now, she was here with a mask. She had like a bandana on. She's like an outlaw. She had a black dress on she has a really curly hair that was done really nice and the black bandana. I mean, that it was kind of a stylish thing. She's looking good in it. And I've got, come on, I'm waiting on my test results. She had to take her and her dad and went and, got their, nose pierced with a freaking foot long, swab or something. And they did the COVID test. Well, you wait, and bing! It comes on your smartphone, negative, or positive, or whatever. Hers came out negative, so she took her mask off. Well, the thing is, if it was positive, either you're sick, or you already had it, and you're done, And so made her feel better, so she took her mask off. But I'm like, come over here, give me some COVID. Well, who's Mr. Elbow? Luke Radowski, he's from New York, man. He's in Brooklyn there. They're just beating it into you. Elbow. Come on. Let Ernie slobber on your forehead just a little bit. No, not for Luke. But most people, everybody's giving me COVID, man. They don't care. Whatever. So this is, it's a relief. Freedom is a relief. Free from pressure, free from oppression. Oppression takes forms in many different ways. Even if you're being physically oppressed, you're not always guaranteed to be emotionally, mentally oppressed. You know, if you're free in your mind, you know, sometimes you know people that have gone to, they've gone to prison, gone to jail, and they take advantage of the freedom. You know, I'm free from a whole bunch of stuff. I get to read, and I'm kind of whatever, and I get to think, and I got time to me. It's the best thing ever happened to them. You know, some people are like, hey, man, I got stuff to do. I'd rather not be here. But it's all in your mind. Well, there are a lot of free minds here. Little kids with free bodies running around. Yeah. Life. The spark, the power, the enjoyment of life.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
Yep. Unafeared. You know, that's the big thing here, is just a lack of, we're good. You know, that, of course, those hate that. They hate when that happens. All right. What I want to do is go over some of the news and such. And you can see that we're starting to logo the bus, see kind of an idea of what it's going to look like if you're watching the stream. But it's Partey. You don't realize how big, you know, this lettering is until you're standing. You know, you're only about this big, you know. And I'm going, damn, you know, the tire is half the size of somebody. So I'm going, damn, we got to put those graphics up. I got to watch me some YouTubes, which I did a few days ago, and kind of I've done it little stuff before, but this is damn, you know, and it came out pretty good. It was straight and everything, and got it, you know, we had the rivet thing to deal with, so I had to spend extra time on that, but it came out pretty well. You know, Donna and Thomas helped, and it was rocking and rolling, and we probably can finish the rest of it, you know, after the show. I got to go right after the show. I got to go do Free Talk Live, but then right after that, you know, and then maybe a little bit posting, but right after that, you know, and hopefully it's not raining, you know, and we'll get that taken care of. Now, with this bus in the background and having the fireworks and pictures, I'm probably going to be spending more time positioning and taking pictures of the bus with the firework and stuff than anything else, because the background, the scenery here is just, like Jeffrey Tucker said, it's therapeutic. I've been sending, you know, this is my view sitting out on our patio under the awning and looking out over the mountains and the forest. And so I just send it to my grandkids and I go, you know, thinking of you guys because damn, it's relaxing here. I'm digging it. But we still, we got a lot of work done. We got Talk Live. We got a lot of networking. We got a lot of things planned and we still have some more work to do on it. But it looks like Luke Radowski may be, you know, taking the plunge. He scoped himself out a RV that he likes, and he's like, okay, you know, I'm digging it. As opposed to what? Sitting in his Brooklyn apartment under fear? I'm like, come on, man. You know, dang, you know, get it out. You know, whatever. You know, this is going to be, and a lot of people that I've met that have done this, they're going, you know, one of the guys, Brian, you know, one of the regulars here I've seen, he did the same thing. He goes, no, I'm done. You know, he sold everything. He got, you know, a nice rig, and he goes, I love it. Love it. He's an IT guy. He can do it anywhere. You just got to make sure he's got internet or he can upload or download, whatever he's got to do. And I probably have more communication power demands than a lot of people. A lot of people are going, you got how many amps? Of what the hell are you doing in there? You got a factory or something? You know, it's just, you know, I want to be comfortable. I want not have Donna yelling at me that the hot water's not heated. You know, where's my what? You know, you got to make a nice nest. You want to be able to lay down with the lovebird, You know, you got to have a nice nest for her. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, get her cooperation. I want her to be enthusiastic. So that's why we did a lot of this. Plus, the function of it and being able to do stuff. But a lot of guys, we show them what we did and how much it costs. They're going, and this is the top. Hell, I need half of that. Hell, I need a fourth of that. You know, what can I do? And they're doing it. One of the guys right behind us had a panel van, the new one, or newer, it looked new, and he just moved into it. You know, he's working on it. You know, all of a sudden when it's not raining, he pulls out tables and tarps and he gets, some shade, and he has his table saw and chop saw and whatever the heck he's got over there, and he's building the inside of it. Some people have already built theirs, or they're in the process of building them. This whole thing is really taken off, and that's one thing that I noticed. There wasn't as many tents, just tent campsites. They were trailers. They were rigs. They were towable, kind of whatever. Did you notice that, Thomas?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wait a minute. I got you on the right one here. Is that one?
Talk. Okay.
Yeah, talk.
All right.
There you go. Yeah, I got the right one there.
He's finally got it. All right. So, yeah, I think there's a lot more campers than tents this year for sure.
Well, this is, the rigs, they seem not necessarily new. Some of them, the new ones, they're just pimped out.
Some of them are pretty fancy. Like this thing is really fancy.
Well, yeah, but they were made that way. You know, a lot of them were made. And then there's some that got created, or they're older, kind of, they don't have the pop out and this and that and everything. But they got cool stuff that they, technology has gotten cool. I mean, power, solar different panels, people carrying different things. And they got, look at my little kit. It was $400, but boom, it pops out and it's ready to go.
Well, you've got Bump's bus, which is she's set up for cooking in there. And then you've got El Stone's. Nice little RV, which is all tricked out.
So. And Collins. Yeah. Collins rig. Colin got, you'll dig this. Because he's Colin, the guy up here, Free Stater, he got a big bus that was has Spartans. It's white, just like this, and it says Spartans on it. Well, Spartans was a marching, I guess for hire marching band or something, or private, whatever the hell it was. And they would have a full marching band that should kind of, I'm not really sure what the deal was, but when the COVID thing went, they went out of business. So he got this really nice passenger van. It's more modern and so on. It's not that old, 6, 7, something like that. It has, something that old and nice. Diesels run forever. It's got 50,000 miles. Nobody cares. $6,500 or some stupid thing like that. It was really cheap, but it wasn't converted. So it had all these really nice bus seats in there. Well, Derek had to have 8 of them, of course. They stacked them on pallets or whatever, and he took them back. Because now I have 8 bus seats. Wow, what are you going to do with that? I don't know, but I got 8 bus seats, So it's because of Derek. Anyway, so him and Jay, man, that's it. But I tell you, they're nice. You can put 2 of them in the back of a pickup truck, and you're styling. That's like little Subarus used to have that kind of deal.
You can sell them for that price.
So, you could sell them, too. You put them on, it's all good, and he could store them. He had a place, so what the hell? All right. So Colin stripped that all out. Now it's open. Now you're talking about Bumps. Bumps is a woman that moved up here. She's been her name is she didn't use her name. She calls it Bumps because she had her breast removed. There was whatever, and she just just call me Bumps, man. It's a beautiful girl, and she just she's a woman. She's probably. I hate to say, man. She looks young. So she's not old, all right? She's not middle-aged yet or anything, but, she's young, but she's been around. She's not a kid. And she got a school bus. Now, somebody that had the school bus had already stripped it out, and they put a thick floor in it. And that floor is what, you're ready to go. It's ready to go. Jay checked out, this thing's in great shape. It's ready to go. I go in, this is probably the nicest school bus I've ever been in. It's really nice. You can stand up in it. And she was like, where am I going to do this? I don't want to do plumbing. I want to do a compost toilet. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I go, come check out the Love Bus so you can see the layout. She comes in and she sees the way the bathroom is because the hallway is the middle of the bathroom. You got sliding door going into the bathroom and a sliding door going into the bedroom. So you can kind of gauge, it's going to be a big, when we go to bed, we close the kitchen door here. So we got a master suite with a bathroom and it's isolated from and so on. Got the camera in here. I can see if somebody breaks in or comes in or whatever. I got the monitor in. It's all good, Well, she sees it, and she goes, I can put this between the wheel wells. I can have this up here and do that. I'm kind of, wow, this is a bit. I go, yeah, it makes a big bathroom that's functional, you know, and it uses, you know, because everybody's trying to make a wall, and you got this little bitty hallway you're going in, you're going a little bitty door, and you're a little bit, screw that crap, man. Mm-hmm. Just open it up. So I really like the way they did this. You know, full shower and so on. So I think that's what she's going to do. And then she has a bunch of cooking stuff, and then, you know, because she's, you know, making meals and cooking. But you got to stand there all the time. Everybody wants to, she wants to play poker. You know, so we're over there playing poker, making some money. You know, and I did well last night. You know, I did okay. I went all the way to the end. So, and I've just been giving it to the dealer. I mean, how she's, you make a bag off me. Which encourages everybody else. So she finds, but the first night, they were just sniffing her. And I go, nah. She ain't going to deal if you don't do that. So we had a good time. I funded my whole thing here, just, you know, playing poker. Thanks for your contribution. But we'll talk about the buses and the different attitudes when we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Without rejoining music still, but I'm working on it. We'll get to it. I mean, it's so way down on my freaking give a crap list. You know, we're doing it, but a lot of people are going, God, where's the Led Zeppelin, man? You know, that's another thing. Yeah, I get to finally spend time and start going through and pulling down and recording, you know, different snippets of favorite songs that I like. And I know a lot of guys like that, man. And I have it actually plays into the show. I got files and so on I'd add into. There's so much to do. And finally, you know, Donna and I hoped when we got done leaving Phoenix and we were ready to go that we had a week that we could just go up in the White Mountains in Arizona and just become one with the bus. I mean, you know, just get all our stuff ready. And we're still getting more and more and more stuff. Derek helped us with some things and everything. But we haven't even gotten to that point yet. You know, the big thing that's been done is Sierra, you know, working on the social media. She's kind of getting that all, you know, going. And fortunately, we had thousands of followers from before when we were on briefly. And I could, I'm not playing. But there were a lot of the best people from the Liberty community back in the day. So it'd be interesting to see where they follow. I mean, we still have some stuff up there, and it kind of automatically does whatever, but I don't engage. And I probably won't that much anyway. Well, I Facebooked you. I mean, you know, so. That don't mean anything to me. But the so there's a lot more coming that we're doing. Now, the sponsors, one of the main primary sponsors of this tour, DidYouDoYourDueDiligence.com, will have their webpage on the bus also. And, you know, who's that? I go, well, they're one of the sponsors. Well, what do they do? Well, they wanted to make sure that when we did the vaccine emphasis on this stuff, you know, pro, against, kind of whatever, it's the mandate thing. And they just wanted the healthcare community, the doctors and the nurses and the hospital administrators and all this stuff, not to get defensive and in their foxhole and start putting up sandbags and defend against you anti-vaxxers. Hey! And we're not saying fork. We just, did you do your due diligence? I mean, did you take a look at some of these studies? Did you, you know, listen to these other doctors? Did you, I mean, this has been going on for a while. How much do you really know? I mean, is your job just, you just do what the hell they tell you and you don't even care? I mean, I mean, do what you got to do, but I mean, at least, you know, freaking look, you know? So that's kind of the idea. And so we're going to need to be, that might be, you know, the weakling we need to work on is them keeping that page updated, you know, because they got, you know, what they wanted to say, and it's just, all right, fine, you know, but the Love Bus Liberty Tour, that'll be a lot more. I mean, they're not going to be able to keep up. You know, I'm going, look, I'm not your babysitter, man. You guys do it. We'll promote and, you know, whatever, but that's up to you guys. But on the Love Bus Liberty Tour, man, it's multiple daily, we got kind of, man, rock and roll and whatnot, you know, so it's, we're not going to be, you know, working through a central command, it doesn't work that way. So that's kind of what we're working with there. So we're encouraging them to get that set up, because once we do the pictures with the 4th of July and the fireworks behind and all logoed up and everything, that's going to get, you know, social media'd up. It's not going to be a secret. And there's going to need to be a mission statement, all that kind of stuff. I may have to spend tonight writing that. And it'll be short. You know, we just, hey, man, we're out, you know, the love and the truth and, you know, peace. So it's interesting, and we have, you know, different shows that they can go to, and we may do a particular one, and then Donna and I may have a our own channel that we do some video, and we go, that's why we're focusing on the social media aspect of this. We have a little library of that, a little this of that, a little Neil, little. We got a bunch of these. We got accounts for mine. We never do it because I'm looking for something that does what I want. Well, float.app, you know, Kingsley Edwards and Aaron Nakamudu, they are, well, they have an Arc of Vegas that was supposed to be the 18th, 19th, and Crypto Vegas and Narco Crypto or whatever the heck it was, events. And state of Nevada, nope, you're not allowed. Got to wear a mask. All right, we're not doing masks, so we canceled this one. We'll say that for next year. Deposits, you guys keep at the casino, whatever. Maybe we'll be back next year. Yeah, it's all good. We're not doing it, you know, because we're not going to enforce it, and we don't want you to. So then you go to a private one, and they go, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, screw them, man. We got all. But now it's an order. You can't have more than 49 people. You get 50. You get fines and this. They're going to take your, and make you. Really? Okay, so they canceled. Fine. More time to work on the bus, and we get to go to Phoenix and spend some time with the kids. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to bust ass getting this thing all done, working on the social media while we're doing that. We'll be meeting with Sierra. We'll get some work done. You know, and, you know, it is part of Donna being happy, me being happy, and we maintain the relationship with our children of why we're doing this. That's part of it. I mean, get over it. So, but, you know, then once the bus is done, ready for long trips, because it has a couple of leaks, and we got to pull this and do a seal, that, and everything, you know, Jay and I can be busting butt on that. While he's working on some of these others for other people that are just inspired by this, they're going, damn, this is damn, you know. Now, Luke did a full video. Now, what we put up there, when I just got here, you know, Derek Jay, we were just yakking. He's walking around. He just followed me. He wanted to go look at the bus. So we went and did it, but we didn't get the full detail underneath and all the systems and everything like we did with Luke. Now, Luke did that. I don't know if he put it up yet or not, or what channel. He's going to start a new channel with that. Whatever. He's all YouTubed up, you know, and elbowed. So we'll see what happens there. Then, but Bumps, what she did is she took and got a school, but got a good deal on it. I don't know. It was not very expensive, a couple thousand, something. I don't remember. It wasn't very much. But it was, a lot of the work had been done so that she could customize it. Now, she's leaving in the glass windows, I think. You know, it still looks like a bus from the outside, but it's all cleared out. And I didn't realize, you know, how much room these buses had to stand up in. Now, they don't have an under storage. I don't think they got, you know, any storage. So, but so that's where you get your height, and it's not as tall. Like, this bus is tall as hell. It's 12 and a half feet tall. I mean, you any taller and you won't be able to make it under the bridge, you know. But so it gives you a big storage bays underneath for luggage and everything, but it has all our crap in there and different systems, the infrastructure. So she's doing that, and that's a good, these school buses, you get a nice one and you got a plan and put a good floor in, you can do whatever the hell you want, which is what she's doing. Now, Colin, what he did, he has a big bus, and he's going to, he goes, everybody's doing it, oh, it sleeps 8 or 12 or something. I go, screw that. I want a jacuzzi, you know? Yeah, it's going to sleep too, and I get my jacuzzi, man. You guys, I don't know what the hell you guys are doing. It's going to be a man cave. It's going to be a, you know, a babe lair. It's going to be wherever the hell he wants it to be. Now, the weekend, for 2 days, they had hired strippers or, you know, entertainers or whatever for a bachelor party, and they got the same, it's a company, and I guess you get what you get, and it's a company. He had three girls come up and entertain in this big tent that he set up, but in front of the bus, he has like a netted canopy, and I guess you can put some, you know, get more privacy in there if you want. It's a heated air blow-up $700 hot tub with filter and heater. It's a freaking hot tub. And he was charging $10 an hour per person to go, and you get a freaking hot tub. Of course, you know, a lot of chlorine, but I mean, you know, it's a hot tub. So he had this hot tub here for rent, and a hot tub. I'm going, cool, Donna been all over there if we had time. You know, she liked the hot tub. She probably wouldn't be first, not 15th. But, I mean, you know, it's a hot tub. And I go, well, there's that. And that's something that, in fact, when the case came, it was like the size is about 18 inches square and about 3 feet high. You know, and everything was in there. The pump, everything. Filters, everything. And I don't know how much it costs. collapses into, but it's all air, and it pops out. And, you know, it's got like a 3-foot-high pump apparatus heater thing, and you plug it in, you're done.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, go take a look at freedomsphoenix.com. It looks like, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell arrested what you really need to know by Luke Radowski, but he hadn't got on the site, you know, reporting yet. So, yeah, whatever. All right, let's see what's there. Oh, Plandemic. Judy Mikovits, 1 billion with a B, views of her Plandemic video was not a fluke. And I am sitting here smiling. In the words of the A-team leader, Colonel John Hannibal Smith, I love it when a plan comes together. All right. This is, Big Pharma is not digging it. And this is from, where is this? The Bullen Report, Tim Bullen. And we had, it also got, what do they call it? What's the Mike Adams new website? Brighteon. Yeah, Brighteon. You know, they're, but... See, Brighteon might have been someplace that we were willing to go over and make a big deal out of, except when the Christchurch video thing threat came and you got to take it down, they took it down. And I go, well, there's that. Well, there that went. There was something happened in New Zealand and they're making you take it down. So I'm going, wow. Yeah. You know, this is, so next. So I'm looking for platforms, really, that I don't care about their policy. That's how they suck you in. Oh, no, we are. Look at our policy, you know, but it's the capability of taking it down. So if they can take it down, and, you know, I vote next. You know, not, no, next. So that's still getting a lot of news, so, you know, power to that. And a lot of it, I mean, we got to take some street care. We're going to take a victory lap on this IPFS thing. That was what made it available to everybody. You know, that was, you know, because we know these guys. They were promoting that IPFS link. You know, here, this, how do you distribute it? How do you send it? Where do you send them? What is it? Here it is. Then they put it up on BitChute. They put it up on this. They got different multiple channels and yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, you know, it's a Streisand effect. They're trying to stop it, and they can't. You know, I'm going, nan, 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 nan. Well, that becomes a platform for the next release and the next and the next. And we're in with these guys, so it's going to be made available. They're not going to be able to censor it. That's the freaking point. Hello. So anyway, that's, you know, yay. You know, will we get, you know, will we be in the movie? You know, probably not. Will we be in the movie about the movie? Maybe not. But it's, I don't care. That was not the point. I don't go in for this credit. I just, oh yeah, you guys like it? Send me money. You know, join. Go, yeah, here it is. You go up the top right there. It says, join us. Boom. You go right there. And it'll say, you can pick a level, monthly, you know, free, you know, get your newsletter. I don't care. You get it free. $5, $10, you know, $25. You can do Bitcoin Cash. You know, you can send it to us. This is our old address. It just goes to a P.O. box. And Donna's going to start putting up the P.O. box where our daughter goes and checks where this forwards to. And so it's all good. You know, you just, send me. But this is in support of what we're doing. You know, you just put, I'm hip. And that's one thing about Float, that we're doing that, is they have a support kind of Patreon structure. I'm looking for a good libertarian, anarchist, decentralized, they got the right philosophy, we can support, and they go get filthy, stinking rich, and I don't care. You know, it's better them than, you know, the other people. So that's what we're working on. We're trying to set a hub, but there are others that we just wanted to all feed in to something so that we're not susceptible. Oh, they banned my Twitter page. Hell, you're assuming I even remembered I had one. You know, I go in and, you know, Sarah's looking at it and she goes, God, man, you got a lot of followers. I go, wow, really? Well, glad I didn't let them influence what I did, you know, which it would have, you know, I'm sure if I, and that's one thing on Telegram, the audience, they send a lot of cool stuff. You know, we put up, a lot of the stuff you see up here is from them. You know, I don't mind that, but a lot of these platforms, they just got an agenda. Hell, it's a freaking robot. You know, screw that crap. All right, well, here's one that's of interest. Bashing historic constitutional changes in Russia. All right. Well, this is Stephen Lemon did a thing. But the daily, you know, the bottom line is Putin has changed the constitution. He did the voting of, and it came out the way he wanted. I'm so shocked. Is that he's going to be the head of Russia until, I don't know, 36. You know, until he's like 90 billion, whatever. He could live forever. Hell, you know, we had a Russian woman that, you know, she'd prefer to remain not anonymous. That's well known. She's got her family has businesses in Moscow. They, you know, whatever, and she's America, you know. But Still has a lot of family ties, relatives we know in the Liberty community, friends with a lot of people. I mean, she spent a lot of time with. We were talking, and she goes, "Putin is like an institution." She goes, "I think there's at least six of them. You know, they surgically altered, cloned him, whatever the hell. You know, he's like a thing. It's not Putin. It's the Putin machine." You know, and I'm going, "Okay, well, he was KGB, so I mean, you know, nothing surprises you anymore." So I'm, but you're going to have that face, you know, or clone is going to be in charge until for another 15, 20 years or forever in Russia. Is that good or bad? I don't know. A lot of people don't like it, but I don't know. That's their thing. Let it be their problem. I got to worry about that. And here we have Mark Victor, my good friend in attorneysforfreedom.com. It used to be Attorney for Freedom. Now it's Attorneys. You know, you got to sign a thing, man, to be one of his attorneys. And there's a couple there and their family that they had to open pizza business in Fountain Hills, which is a very, you know, exclusive, your house is, if it's under $3 million, you're the poor family, you know, in this area, Fountain Hills, on the other side of the mountain, northeast of Scottsdale, Arizona. So it's where Scottsdale wishes they lived. So you go there, and they have a lot of, you know, really nice things and big parties and so on in this fountain. White Castle, since the 70s. You know, they bring a 707 full of White Castles. You know, just because they missed all these people, Chicago, remember, they missed White Castle. I'm like, seriously? This is seriously, because I went and had White Castle when I was older. I went there. I had it as a kid or something when I was like, you know, 14 or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I don't think I was impressed then. And we went, you know, northeast. You go traveling, you're Ohio or something. You go to White Castle. I'm going, wow, this is bad. I mean, this is really bad. Why? They revel in the bad. So, she had a pizza restaurant there in that community. And she abided by, yeah, no seating in, you can't. But they allowed carry out. Well, what happened, she had outdoor patio seating that was part of the strip center or something like that. And people would get their pizza and go down and sit down. They cited her. Your violation of. People are sitting in front of your thing eating it and you didn't shoot them. So, you know, or call the police on them. So you're going to jail. Well, they, you want to play? Let's play. Now, what happened is Mark, he's going, he didn't go that your law sucks. He's like, she didn't violate it. Plus your law sucks, you know. And so they went through, and this is the, they dismissed it finally. Well, he has another lawsuit in Hawaii suing the governor. You know, this whole thing, he's like, you know, wherever Mark has a law firm, Arizona, now Hawaii, damn, it just sucks for them because, you know, here it goes. So we had him on the show a couple weeks ago talking about this stuff. And he's really pushing this idea of live and let live, which is non-aggression principle, but he's just so sick of the rep that libertarians have gotten. He's just doing a live and let live party in his own thing of a segment of whatever the hell he wants to do. Write a book about it. I'll help you, man. Yeah, whatever. You know, go. I don't care. You know, peace be upon thee. And the only reason I'm not like super embracing it is because he gets to define it. Not that I disagree with him, but he gets to define it. But then it's like reasonable interpretation of gun laws and restrictions on reasonable and what reasonable, who gets to do the reasonable, you know, well, professionals of, you know, reasonable. Okay, I'm good. I'll help you do it and we'll see how it goes that. But, you know, so that's, you know, better than not. So I support him in doing that. He's always does a good job. UMass, I guess that's University of Massachusetts, nursing dean fired for saying everyone's life matters. I mean, how far do I need to go into this story? The investigation or termination of professors for expressing opposing views about police abuse, Black Lives Matter movement, or aspects of the protest following the killing of George Floyd. There is a sense of new orthodoxy that does not allow for dissenting voices as campaigns are launched to fire faculty who are denounced as insensitive or even racist for such criticism. The most recent controversy involves the recently installed University of Massachusetts Lowell Dean of Nursing, Leslie Neil Bolin. Dr. Neil Bolin had only been in her position for a few months when she was fired. Everyone lives matter. Boom, done. No, they don't. Only black lives. You know, this is wow. And it's a message. And it's a system. It's a university system. It's federal, somebody said system. All right. All right. How far does this go? right. We got more stories when we come back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hello. And we'll go over some of the news and stuff in the last segment here, because, you know, we're just yakking it. I'm going to be able to relax and go over and damn, you know, just see what the news is. I'm not impacted by the news as much as I think a lot of people are. You know, this is duh. You know, of course they're going to do this, and of course they're going to do that, and of course, you know, because this is their agenda. Once you understand, you know, they, them, those want to rule you, you go, okay, I get it. It's a ruling thing. Now, here this Ghislaine Maxwell arrest may be sent to the same jail where Epstein killed himself. Do you think, you know, she even got Donna's like going, look, man, I haven't seen a single picture of her being arrested, frog marched, put kind of, you know, is she even arrested? Is this part of the negotiation? Is it the deal? I'll tell you this if. I'll tell you that if. You know, I need to be killed on TV. I mean, not killed, just kind of killed. You know, you know, God knows what's being done and what kind of hand does she have. You know, I mean, she drew five aces on the, you know, on the draw, man. You know, you know, let's do it. And this here, you know, second, you know, ace of, you know, on my sleeve thing. So I'm very interested. You know, it's always the movies later. I don't get all worked up about now. It's always, you know, a year, 3 years, 10 years later, it really comes out. Now we even got guys confessing to JFK. You know, we got, you know, no, I'm the one that did the, you know, I was grassy knoll. Shit, man, I was in the, you know, the culvert, you know, whatever. There's stuff out there. And I don't even have time to look. I'm waiting for the movie. What do I want to see? You do the Trump report. I'm going, Trump, the movie, you know, which is going to be awesome. And, of course, they'll have BS ones and whatever, both sides or whatever. But eventually, you get James Corbett does a documentary, and then you know what's up. A note on the social media service Parler. Okay? Now, Parler, I thought you should know that Parler is no better than Twitter when it comes to canceling accounts. All right? Everybody's like, go to Parler, go to Parler, go to Parler. And I was going, yeah, I think, you know, didn't I hear that they're, and that might be, you know, fake news too, you know, that they're canceling stuff. Because they were for conservative libertarians can go over there and stuff. And then even Ron Paul had a quote. Ron Paul goes, yeah, it's great to have, you know, something, something, something. So I go to Sierra, I go, all right, let's set it up. See what's up. What do I care? You know, because a lot of these, they'll be there. I would just ignore them, won't pay attention to them. They'll drop off or they'll be part of our main whatever. That's her job, you know. And I hate the brain damage of dealing with, you know. So she'll do it. And I go, are you going to be interacting with people? No. You know, death threats on moms. Yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't care. You know, it's just going to be, that's how they try and control you and distract you and eat up your time. Okay, here's a good thing. I want to talk to this. This is more fun in the last segment anyway. I talk about this, and then last night after poker, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and so they go, hey, Ernie, you guys listen to this, because I talk about it a lot. And this one guy got up and he quoted some damn Ferner, I don't know who it was, German, whatever, Europe thing, that they did that you can only have about 150 friendships. You know, you can have, because of just the time involved. How much do you have to, you know, interface with someone and still call them a friend? I mean, I have some guys, I don't talk to them for years, and we were like best friends before, but just kind of diverted, but I can call them up anytime. How you doing, man? They do, we do. You know, something happened, we just call, you know, I got some really good friends that you just want to make sure that they're okay with whatever's going on. And they're the ones that show up at your party and says, is this what you said was going to happen all these years? I'd make fun of you. This isn't it, is it? You know, that kind of thing. But it was a number, and the reason they came, and I'm going, yeah, this is why I say it's like 120 people, you know, at any event, anything, you know, so that you have this intimacy and it doesn't start separating into different cliques, which it always kind of does anyway. But you have this common thing. It's, yeah, it's like 120 tribe, and then go do your own damn tribe. So it was a study that the reason it came out, and one guy, he was just, you know, high and drunk, just wanted to discuss and whatever, and it was a good platform for us to discuss it, but he's like, well, I think I could do 220. I mean, you know, whatever. But there is a limit. That's the point, is that it's not necessarily your capacity to have friendships. It's all the average of these people. They won't consider you a friend if you never talk to them or respond to their stuff, or, you know, some people are just time bandits. Time sucks, and, you know, they want to sit there all day and, you know, exchange on text messages. And they go, just text me. No call. You know, why do I do that? If I want to relay information and talk, I call somebody, and I go, blah, 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 and you go, blah, 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 we're done. You know, we might go longer if we feel like just yakking, you know, just for entertainment and maintaining a friendship, but whatever therapy you get out of it. But the big thing is that it's really just information. You get tone, inflection, whether you, I think this about that. You think, okay, we should and can, and we're done. Put it on the calendar. We're done. But the problem is that, you know, we want to text. Well, you go back and forth on text. Donna, you know, the kids, they go back and forth over a half hour. It hasn't been done in 3 minutes. This guy, we going to the freaking movie? Never mind, the movie already started. I go, what the hell is this thing with texting? Well, then I find out a lot of Liberty, especially like Adam Kokesh. He only does text because he has 47 conversations going on at the same time. So they're sitting there just constantly on their phone all the time. And I go, well, this sucks, man. I'm not hip to that. So friendships, not this, you know, Facebook friend, you know, but friendships that you actually, you know, exchange COVID, you know, you're swapping biome. I mean, you know, what the hell? You actually meet them, or you're a little bit more intimate than just a freaking, you know, text post on Telegram or something. So they're saying there's a limit. Well, of course there's a limit. You got 4,000 friends on Facebook? I mean, I don't count. You know, who are your friends? Well, the point that they were making is the amount of hours in a day. If you slept 8 hours a day, you got 16 hours. In 16 hours a day, how many friends can you maintain that may only need, you know, a couple of minutes or whatever every 3 weeks or something? You know, at some point, there's a limit. Well, whatever that is, if you can juggle and you do nothing but maintaining how many friends I got on Instagram wants to look at my cleavage and, you know, dick pics or whatever, you know, I mean, that's, you know, a certain kind of friend. But, you know, I'm going, how do you keep your friends and how many? That's the limit. There is a limit to having real friends that you share germs with. So, and family, you know, so how many friends get pushed out when you get married? Oh my God, you have kids, you get a dog, you got a job, you have a, you know, different skills and extracurricular activities, and you add some, you lose some, you kind of, you know, how many can you maintain? Now, you may have a good reputation, you may have, you know, they're happy to see you at a party, and you go, and that's what Porkfest has become. Porkfest, you'll have hundreds of people here, and you come in, you probably, you might exchange a little something something or whatever, but here I'm talking about, I'm the yes guy. Yes. You know what we should do? Yes. I want to do that. You know, because I'm sitting there looking at it. I got this great idea. And it's got, you know, this one bump, she had an idea. She goes, you know what I want to do? She goes, I want to make a kilt. Female and male kilts that have, you know, called a crypto kilt, you know, and it have all these different, you know, cryptos on it and so on, and promote different things and kind of, you know, new encrypted method, something. You know, you're in your crypto kilt. You know, it's just kind of, you wear it to, you know, different festivals and other things. They go, oh, yeah, what's that? You know, they kind of, it's a conversation. It's like having tattoos without the permanent ink, okay? And I go, boom, done. I tell you what, the Love Bus gets to be the belt buckle. Hell, I just do a QR code for the belt buckle to go to the Love Bus Liberty Tour. You know, that's, you know, just to get it started. I go, what do you need? You know, do the art? Oh, we can do the art. You know, you got to order the kilt. You got to have it embroidered. You know, I mean, how much? I don't know. You know, let me know. Yes. Yes, I'm in. Let's do it. A little promotion here. That'd be cool. All right. Well, somebody else has got another idea. All right. Yes, I want to do that. You know, one of these guys wants to buy here. If we bought Rogers and we could, and I go, what do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? You get that all done, we'll promote it. You'll see, you know, what the community says, whatever. We'll, you know, pimp that out. You know, somebody comes up, they go, we want to buy some property up by Jay. And I'm going, Donna's like, no. We're living in Arizona, damn, we've got Grant. I go, yeah, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, we can't have an acre or two or something up here just to have. Hell, just to sell. I mean, you know, I got silver. I can't have land, you know? No, because you'll want to stay there, like, a couple days a year or something. You know, so I'm just like, yes. I'm looking for the yes. Expanding freedom, yes. How can we help? Yes. Because I know it's paying it forward for the people that have done it for us. It changed our world by us being able to have $200, $2,000, $200,000, $20,000, $2 million, whatever it is, you know, we put it to use. And I know there are a lot of creative people that will put it to use. And we want to help and highlight and promote love. Peace, guys. Listen to the music.